Harihi Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadara, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Some group, which means to tie or string together like on a thread.
Okay.
The idea is like making a garland of all the verses of the Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Thematic.
Okay, so it's similar like Bhagavad Arkaruchi Mala. The Mala aspect of this is that Sandharva is stringed together. But then also is interesting because it's stringing, then you have that aspect of Krishna says he's like that thread that holds everything together. So then it's about Krishna.
They're following a thread and putting verses on it.
Okay. Yeah, it's not going on me. By popular demand. And then just here, there's got this funny little thing on the
chain.
A chain on the other side. That makes it slower, one more. And then I think the next one's off.
On page 26, there's also a mentioning about the meaning of Sandhana, that's giving you an explanation.
Oh, 26. Okay, so we'll get to it. 26 means that's 26 in here? That's 21.
No, I gave you some makeshift pigeonation here.
Okay.
So I unscrolled, scrolled in the margin.
Okay, 24. 26.
Taking that paragraph.
Second to the last paragraph.
In text 7, that's commentary.
It means in technically love of God, that one? Or?
The wise? No.
The commentary.
Literally the word. It's in 27.
No, text 7.
Text 7. So what page?
It's 26.
So.
So you have 26.
Yeah,
so 26 means this way.
So that'll be, this is what he's referring to.
Oh.
Yeah, it's whatever's above the line.
Oh, okay, that's
the,
not just
it's like
way,
the bottom.
Exactly. Okay. It's on the bottom of the page, number. Okay. The uncommon word Sandharva, which appears in the title of this work, and in the current verse as a descriptive term, has been defined as follows. The wise call a composition a Sandharva when it shines light on a difficult subject, concentrates on essentials, excels in composition, imparts a variety of complex ideas, and expresses itself lucidly. Literally, the word Sandharva means stringing together. Right? Because so, but it strings together in this particular way. Right? Just like you have so many elements that are literary. You can say it's a literary work. But then, if it's poetry, it means like this. If it's an epic, it means like that. If it's a drama, it has the other... In the Sandharva, Srila Jiva has explained Srimad Bhagavatam not by commenting on each verse one after another as normally done, but by systematically presenting various topics, which he painstakingly develops by stringing together relevant verses from the entire Bhagavatam, along with his own elucidations and those of other commentators. Right? So, in other words, the study of Bhagavatam instead of the reading of Bhagavatam. Because when you go through in your, what do you call it?
Seriatim.
Yes, in the Seriatim, then you're going to go verse by verse. But when you go with the other, elucidatory?
Thematic is the second one.
Yeah.
And then what was the other word?
The third one?
No, the other word was elucidatory.
That's for the third year with our elucidatory style. The second year was thematic.
Oh, no, but then... okay. So thematic works. They know what it means. Okay. So
thematic.
But for us, the after that, the Amnaya, Amnaya Tattva Niryas, that section of it means it's as those both. So, in other words, he's taking all the different verses on a particular topic, putting them together in an order that you can then appreciate the point, and then taking those themes and putting them in an order. Right? Like Prabhupada did with the analysis of Gita. Right? You're taking your various Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana and then taking all the points on that aspect. And then stringing that together and then putting them in an order. But it's considered that, you know, a higher way of study. Does that make sense? Like that.
To do that, you have to be so intimately familiar with the whole work.
Yes.
The whole verses.
Yes. So that's why we generally don't make the attempt to do it ourselves. You know, that's why we've looked for where the acharyas do this. So the sandarbhas then are that really, you know, technical way of putting it together. Then the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, the Laghu Bhagavatam Rita is how Rupa and Sanatana put it together in very, you know, nice forms. And then for the Gita, then that analysis of Gita that Prabhupada put together. So then we don't have to worry about coming up in that way with these thematic studies. Yes?
I was doing some service at the Bhaktivedanta Research Center in Kolkata. There was one German devotee who was a PhD, who was doing his PhD on the Bhagavatam. He was trying to do this. And he was studying and working, and finally he realized it can't be done. And so he just dropped the thing and went back to Germany.
Oh, he's going to present, try a new thesis.
Yeah, it was just too much to...
Yeah. Because it's so far beyond. The point is, here you have the literary incarnation of God, right? So you're not talking like here Hemingway or someone else like that, you know, they're recognized, they're good, but, you know, you're talking about, you know, God and doing some literary writing.
So
that's the whole point. You never catch it. Because that's what the opening point is it's not about academics. So even the acharyas are approaching it using those academic techniques of study, but it's only to bring out the pure devotion. Because unless you're approving, you know, that he could do something on the sandarbhas, but how's he going to do it in Bhagavatam? You know, and analyze it and this and that. You know, plus, where's his 500, his other 499 bibliographies going to come from? You know, like that. That's the problem with our line, is one book does it all, right? You know, modern academics, you don't have 500, it's not a broad view.
Really,
you're not actually going to get down to the essence. Right? How that works, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But, you know, it's popular and they like it. And it works for them. Yeah, like that.
They claim it works.
Yeah.
So, right, because the Bhagavatam is the Lord himself in the three forms. It doesn't matter how intelligent one is, there'll always be two fingers too short. Right?
Yes, yes, always. That's the whole thing. So it's only by the Lord's grace, because it's directly the Lord. It's like the holy name. You're only going to hear, you know, or get a taste because Krishna's pleased and reveals himself. It's not because I'm chanting, therefore the Lord has to appear. You know, it's just like that in the Nectar Devotion, it mentioned about that devotee who danced all night. So he pleased the Lord. It wasn't like, I'm going to dance because of that. The Lord has to reveal himself. It's just, you know, out of surrender, he's just dancing, hoping that the Lord will be pleased. You know, and then the Lord reveals himself. Like that. So so here, then, in other words, the stringing together is to bring out that thematic element, but it's still, so therefore the thematic shines light on difficult subject. So that's the overall, means you're talking about pure devotion, so that's the most difficult subject. You know, here, it's the natural subject in the spiritual world, but concentrate is on essentials, so it's just going to get down to the principles and the technical, you know, how you say, definitions, relationships and everything like that. excels in composition, so that means it has to be very well written. It's not just, you know, just something put together. Right? Imparts a variety of complex ideas, so you're able to bring in all these different technical points, but, and expresses itself lucidly. So all these technical things, all these variety of ideas, right, and on the difficult subject is made lucid. Right? So it's a very exact, clear thing that's written very well. Right? And so, but the form, what it's doing is stringing together these, all these technical points in a lucid way, and the order of these technical points, so it makes it lucid.
I guess that's why you don't get too many sunburns.
Yes, you don't get a whole lot of them. Like, basically, you have six. Seven, yeah.
Yuga Goswami is pretty confident when he calls it a sandarbha.
Yes, but he is considered the, you know, the greatest scholar, you know. Basically, technically, it means we just say in the, you know, this more, you know, modern time, you know, because the last 500 years was, you know, pretty contemporary. We know the contemporary time, but technically, other than Vyasadeva, there is no other, you know, literary that is the same. It's not that necessarily as a position of authority. Like we said, Sridhar Swami, when it comes to Bhagavatam, is the authority. You know, no one's going, but then you bring out things that enhance, you never go against what he says.
So you said earlier that he wrote 400,000 verses?
Yes, 400,000, that's a lot. I mean, his Mahabharata's 100,000. You know what I'm saying? You know, Skanda Purana is, I think, 100,000. But then you take all the other ones and put them all together, and you'll only get 400,000. So what Vyasadeva wrote is only 400,000, technically. It means what's around here. It means he did write, the expanded the Mahabharata to 600,000. But that was still within the mind. It wasn't published, meaning in a written form. And that's what, you know, what they would use in the high end heaven. Right? So there's a few more stories, a few more details. You know, it's just like Narayan Kavacha. Right? We read it, okay, you know, it's nice. But that's the kind of detail that the demigods can work at. You know, they appreciate that. Does that make sense? Because Prabhupada said, I think it was Jagadaka Maharaj who was sick, someone recommended, why don't you use the Narayan Kavacha? Like that. And so he was doing that, and then Prabhupada wrote him and said, you know, it's nice, you just need to chant. That'll take care of everything. He says, but the Narayan Kavacha can only be put on by the demigods. They only have the focus to do it. We read about it in connection with the Lord's pastimes. But as far as being able to use it, we can't. We can read it, but we can't actually put it on. Because it has to be so exact and the focus so much. It's like, I think it was Ashwatthama. No, is it Ashwatthama? Or was it Abhimanyu? Drona taught somebody how to put on armor differently than everybody else. Everyone put it on very tight, and they knew the science how to get it so it doesn't, it touches so tight, no one can shoot an arrow. Right? But the point is because it is there and it is metal, if you're very exact, like from, you know, so much distance away, you shoot an arrow that will exactly go into that crack. You have to be pretty good. If you can't, it won't go in through because it's armor, it's the way it's tied, but it'll just give a pinprick. So Arjuna used to do that sometimes on these other warriors, is that he can't catch them at that point, so he just sends arrows and pricks them in all the joints of all their things, so it just becomes a distraction. So when they're distracted, then they won't be fighting so well, then you can defeat them. Right? But this one person, then, it might have been Abhimanyu.
I've heard you say Abhimanyu.
Yeah, I remember. It's been a while. That he put it on loosely. There's big gaps, but they're so focused, because the other one, you just have to focus on the fighting. But here, they're so good, they can focus on the fighting and focus on where the arrows are going. So they can just flip it, and then the things will overlap, so there is no gaps. So Arjuna asked, why didn't I teach you that? He says, you don't have the concentration. And he was the best. Right? You know, because remember, he is the son of the moon god, so these are things they use. So it's, you know, a little something from the heavenly planets, you know.
Too spaced out.
Is that like that? So the whole point is that certain things that one can't do. So it's about the connection to the Lord. Here Jiva Goswami can write like that, so therefore. But we just keep it within our own line. Yes.
Part in Svagaloka, they use some expanded version of Vedic literature.
Because it means in the heavenly planets, they have, that's a, like you said, that 600,000 version, that's their version. Mm-hmm. Because the point is they don't have to write it down. Right? It's here you have to write it down. So therefore, you publish something by speaking it, the other person hears it. It means whatever Sukadev Goswami spoke, every word of it, Sutta Goswami remembers. Mm-hmm. Right? Otherwise, then that's a sutta. Right? You know, he remembers it. So then he speaks it exactly the same. You know, the words, there's nothing. So that's why when you hear conversations, this is not kind of filling in. These are exact words that people use. If it says Shiva said this, that's exactly what he said. You know, like that. So they just have better memories.
So Bhagavatam is also an expanded form they use? Or?
Bhagavatam is the glories of the Lord interacting with devotees. So any story connected with that is Bhagavatam.
Right.
But the point is what's documented defines the exact mood of pure devotional service that the Bhagavatam is explaining. Mm. So all aspects of Bhagavatam has to be viewed from the viewpoint of the written Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva documented. Does that make sense? Yeah, because otherwise, just like we said before, there is the stories of Tulsi and Shaligram. So when most tell it, then it drops down, the approach is from the mode of passion. So it leaves out the elements of the pure devotion, the backgrounds, the histories, you know, all these things. And so therefore, it becomes confusing. So that's not following the Bhagavatam. So therefore it's Brahma by Bharata Purana. But that same story told in relationship to the proper pure devotion, then it's Bhagavatam. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that was there. Okay. Okay, section 1, Mangalacharan, 1 through 8. Text 1, Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Visumedasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the Lord who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Bhagavatam 11.5.52. Commentary.
Now, are you going back to this because this is the new one?
Yeah, we're on page 18.
We're on 18.
At the very end of page 18.
The very end of 18. Mm-hmm. That's my 18 or your 18?
Our 18.
Your 18. Okay, let's see, where is your 18? Now you have 16 and 17. This 17 is only one sentence.
Oh, yeah, it's confusing because of the footnotes. Right now we're on, in the Sarvasambhadini.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
In the Sarvasambhadini, Srila Jiva Goswami states that the Vishnu Dharmotras, denial of a Yuga avatar in Kali, may apply to other Kali Yugas, but not in the present one. Can we deal with this?
Yeah, we read this one. Yeah, sorry. We're on We Live in the 28th.
Hmm?
We're on Next We Live in the 28th. Kali Yuga.
We Live. That's the start of the paragraph?
That's the start of the sentence.
Oh, what's the start of the paragraph?
When you start with somebody.
Next sentence. Yeah. When you just read it.
Oh, I mean, so past the footnote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We live in the 28th Kali Yuga of the 7th Manvantara of the day of Brahma called the Sweta Varaha Kalpa. Only once in each day of Brahma, meaning once every, 8,640,000,000 years, does the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, descend to the earth in its original form. This rare descent of Lord Krishna, in fact, occurred in our current cycle of ages just before the beginning of our Kali Yuga 5,000 years ago. Krishna is not just another avatar, but the ultimate source of all forms of God. When he appears, his unlimited potency overrules the general pattern, and he comes again in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who displayed his pastimes in Bengal some 500 years ago, was Krishna himself, not merely an avatar displaying only some aspects of the Supreme Lord's greatness. Lord Chaitanya coincidentally accepted the role of Yuga Avatar. But to call him only that, that is to understate his glories. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas realize that Sri Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one, and that Lord Chaitanya is the deliverer of Kali Yuga. Easily reconciles with Sridhar Swami's opinion that Sri Krishna himself is the Yuga Avatar for both the Dwapara and the Kali Ages. Right? And it's not, means you can't like that. You also have the element, even if you put it into, the others will be Vishnu Tattva, meaning Vishnu, a plenary portion or a portion of a plenary portion. Right? Because they're going to be expansions of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. Right? Now, the point is in Dwapara, that's the expansion of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So the point is if that same expansion comes again in Kali Yuga, it's still, you know, Vishnu. You understand? But the point is what we bring out is that the hidden element is what is there. So they're taking the mood of a devotee like that. Does that make sense? Because you see people really go nuts when there's this, you add the God element, right? It gets so cultish. So therefore, you take on the devotee element, then it works much better in this age.
So why are we preaching that he's God?
Because he is. But the point is his mood is not. It's not that we don't know who he is. Just like his own devotees know who he is. But but he's not
proclaiming himself.
Yeah, he's not proclaiming himself, because then otherwise everybody will proclaim, you know? Like that. Does that make sense? Okay, so in other words, it doesn't go against the opinion that Krishna himself is, because then he is coming as in this. So that can either be that it only happens this one time in the day of Brahma. At the same time, it also can mean that whoever is the avatar in the Dwapara is also coming in Kali, just in a different manifestation. Right? Because we do see that Gopal Bhatta Goswami in the Yajna, you know, when going through, does offer obeisances to the Kali Yuga avatar, not specifically just. He's just going by the color. Right? Like that. He's not going by specific names. You know, and we always hear that every yuga has its avatar. You know, why wouldn't it? Why would everything else? The age has an avatar. It means, you know, Kali comes, or the age of Dwapara, they're people. Like Kali Yuga is Kali. So Dwapara is also a person. Treta is also a person. Satya is also a person. Right? Everything's a person. There's a person running your the blinking of your eyelids, or when the the eyelashes fall out or stay, or whether they're longer or not, or you know what I'm saying, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, you know, this aspect. But the point is that if you say there's none, but at the same time scriptures say there is, that means that there is, but they're hidden. You know, so that's the position that we'll take. But in case you're dealing with some scholars that don't understand these things, then you can leave it at that. It's you know, why get lost in the discussion there and miss out on discussing the Supreme Lord? That's the whole aspect. Yeah. Okay. The Bhagavatam so fully reveals the potencies of the Supreme Truth that it has inspired various Vaishnava acharyas, both before and after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, to interpret it in different ways, without deviating from its authority. For example, the verse Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam is followed by two beautiful prayers addressed to the Mahapurush. Lord Chaitanya's followers understand these as prayers to him, the Mahaprabhu, whereas Sridhar Swami interprets them more generically, not as a specific description of the Yuga Avatar. The second prayer reads, Chaktvasu Dushyaja Surekshita Raja Lakshmim Dharamishta Arya Vachasa Yad Agad Aranyam Maya Mrigam Daita Ye Shipa Anvadhavad Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the company of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and for which even the great demigods yearn. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to an honored superior's words. Out of sheer mercy, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls, who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and gave them the true object of all desire. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5, 34. So these are what, just immediately after the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Two verses later.
Oh, exactly. Okay. So he's doing generically, because then you also have the element of generic means that in every Kali Yuga, that this would be the basic pastime, right? But it's the plenary portion of the Lord as opposed to Swayam Krishna himself. Right? The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand this verse to be an outline of his pastimes. Cursed by an angry Brahmin, Arya Vachasa, to lose all happiness and family life, he entered the renounced order, Aranyam, and left his wife Vishnupriya, even though she was directly his eternal consort, the goddess of fortune, Raja Lakshmi. Sridhar Swami reads the same lines differently. Lord Ramachandra, ordered by his father, Arya Vachasa, went into exile in the forest, Aranyam, giving up his royal opulence, Raja Lakshmi. To Sridharswari, Mayam Rigam means the sorcerer Marichi, disguised as a golden deer. And Daitaya Ipshitam means desired by his beloved Sita. That is, Lord Ramachandra chased after the false deer because his wife wanted it. Right? So in other words, it means even here, he's saying, when you say generic, it means even more generically than that. It's just applying to the Lord in his pastime. So he's applying it here, giving examples in Ramachandra's pastime. The commentary by the Gaudiya Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti repeats Sridhar Swami's explanation, but then adds another. Maya Mrigam means the living entities who are entangled in material life, because that's in the Bhagavatam. It gives the example of the living entity, like the deer. He's following after the sound of the flute, and in this way, that's how you catch the deer. And so he's bound in this way, like that. So then he's using this. The living entities who are entangled in material life, seeking out the illusion of wife, children, wealth, and so on. According to Srila Vishwanath, Daitaya means out of compassion, and Ipshitam means object of desire. In other words, Lord Chaitanya, out of compassion, pursued the deluded souls to attract them to the better life of Krishna consciousness, because he very much desired to embrace them with his mercy. Both these interpretations, Sridhar Swami's and Vishwanath Chakravarti's, are grammatically and logically feasible. So just bringing out different aspects. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like we said, is in the Hiranyagarbha Sukta, then it's defining Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, in the principle of the primary creation. But at the same time, the wordings that it's used, it's talking about Sarashiva. Like that. Does that make sense? Or you could even say that it's talking about the Hiranyagarbha aspect of Mahavishnu, but it's using the terminology of Mahavishnu Sadashiva. Because Mahavishnu is Hiranyagarbha, he's Vishnu, and he's Sadashiva. Does that make sense? So it may do that. So how you bring it out, like, because others will interpret as Shiva. They won't even understand Sadashiva. They'll back with Shiva here, and they'll say, therefore, he's the Lord of the creation. Right? So we'll bring out. So grammatically, it's correct. Does that make sense? So they can do. So here are the acharyas, but the difference is the acharyas are always bringing it back to Vishnu. Right? Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, yet in complexion, Trisha, he is Akrishna, not dark blue, but golden. Krishna Varnam means containing the syllables Krishna, as in the name Lord Chaitanya, the brahmachari name given to Lord Chaitanya by his sannyas guru, Krishna Chaitanya. Keshava Bharati. Each avatar of Vishnu should be identical identifiable by his special bodily features and ornaments, angas and upangas, and his personal weapons and associates, astras and parshadas. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana states in his commentary on Tattva Sandarbha that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears with all these features, sangopangasta parshadam. His main limbs are Lord Nityananda and Lord Advaitacharya. His ornaments are principal followers like Shivas Thakur. Even though Lord Chaitanya does not involve himself in killing demons, to kill the demoniac spirit lurking in every heart in Kali Yuga, he has his weapons, the holy name of God. Okay. Just on here is that on the astras or ornaments or different things like that, being people as standards, like the sannyasi travels with his kamandalu and danda. Right? So then Ramanuja, I think he didn't carry like that. Or he did, but he considered his two associates his water pot and his danda. You know, so now whether they carried them or not, that's another thing. But so if someone invited him to the house, the person, they come with their danda and kamandalu. So he would come with the two of them. Like that. Does that make sense? So using this like Srivas Thakur is like ornaments, then it's a standard way of being.
Yeah? Nice.
Okay, footnote 6. Srila Prabhupada lists one of Sri Chaitanya's additional weapons. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues it with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Krama Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his ashtra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. Because he is all attractive, it is to be understood that all the demons lived with him as his companions. All the demigods lived with his companions. Here we are again. Sri Sri Adi Lila 352. Oh, just like Mohini, right? He subdued the demons by his beauty. You know, so it works well. You know, it's not, you don't have to worry. You know it works. You know, so. Like that. Oh, that was one thing I was thinking about on that, is that when you're taking the gross materialists, right, who are interested in actually solving the problems of life, as we were saying, you know, and that, you know, and that would be the position of the individual, right, that who takes up Krishna consciousness, because it means if you actually want, because Bhagavatam is only for those who actually want, but once they take it up, they're not referred to as gross materialists. Now they're referred to as devotees. Like that. Some examples. Like that. But that's the position. So those persons surrender and hear Bhagavatam. So you don't have to worry that we're still gross materialists. Okay. Six. Okay. Back. And among his confidential companions are Garadhar Pandit and his personal servant, Govinda. Thus, Srimad Bhagavatam verifies Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Yuga avatar for the current age of Kali. Because the main thing is to establish Lord Chaitanya. Now, the discussion's not on whether there's a Yuga avatar in other yugas, right? In the other Kali Yuga. It's about discussing Lord Chaitanya, the establishment of Lord Chaitanya. In the 10th canto also, during the name-giving ceremony for Nanda's newborn son, Krishna, the Yadu clan's priest, Garga, tells Nanda, Asan varanas trayo hyasya grinato nu yugam tanu shuklo raktas tatapita idanim krishnatam gata. Your son Krishna appeared previously in three different colors, assuming a form according to each age. He has been white, red, and yellow, and now he is dark blue. 10.8.13. Right? So then that would mean he is confirming that there are four avatars, and that golden is, you know, the Lord's coming, but it's not specifically saying, you know, it means he can say he's come before as this, he could be referring to the previous day of Brahma, you know, as Swayam Krishna, or it can be just about that principle. So it would work either way. Yes.
Having heard that this age, if there is Swayam Krishna who comes, and in other ages, then it's a portion or a plenary portion.
Yes.
Then is thinking then that this one is special, not because I'm in it, but I mean, because Swami Krishna is here, is that, and then thinking the others are lesser, is that the one aspect of one's devotional challenge?
The point is it's Krishna, just as a matter of how much he's manifested. Right. The point is as Vishnu, he's manifesting more that element of being God, right? But the point is as Swayam Krishna, then it's about him as that supreme aspect of him as a person, right? Because Vishnu, tattva means, you're talking about expansions, means that you're manifesting unlimited power and unlimited qualities, but you're only in personality manifesting a certain amount.
Yeah.
But it's not that the power is technically less, it's how much of the personality is manifest. Just like we see when Gopal Kumar visits Vaikuntha, then he gets out his flute and he plays for the Lord and this and that. So after the, you know, the court program, because you don't want to make too much of a scene, because it's formal, right? And so afterwards, then they kind of pull him to the side out into a garden and then say, hey, we don't do that around here. You know, it's like, this is formal. There's a set program, you know. And so then they go away, and then the more mature ones say, no, it's okay. The Lord likes it, but, you know, like that, don't worry about it. And then after they go, then Lord Vishnu comes, and he gets out his flute, manifests cows, and things like that. Jolly good time, right? Like that. So the point is Vishnu means Krishna's only manifesting that much of his personality, but it's the same person.
Yeah.
That's why it said when you light a candle and light all the other candles, this potency is the same. It's not that it's less. We take it as something less.
Yeah.
So from that side, it's not. But as far as taste goes, then that is the fullest taste. That's the difference. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have so many fruits. They're all fruits. Right? They all have their uniqueness, but you have your favorite fruit. Like that. Potato, right? Yes. Yeah, so then...
There is others?
Corn. Yeah.
The French are called ground apples.
Ground apples, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that thing
that means the ones that have fallen off and really just went right. There's like potatoes underneath apple trees.
Yeah. And ours is that thing that boxes things up, and that's just controlling and enjoying it.
Controlling and enjoying, we're trying to use our intelligence, we're trying to put things together, but we forget that the element of relationships, that everything is all connected, because it's all Krishna, everything's connected. We think we can separate something off, just like we can separate off the Lord's energies from Himself. So point is, the boxes are okay to get a general idea, but you can't actually get down to the real essence by using the box system. It's okay as an opening to the whole discussion. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay.
The white incarnation was the Yuga Avatar in Satya Yuga, the red, Lord Yagya in Treta Yuga, and dark blue, Krishna in Dwapar Yuga. By simple elimination, the fourth avatar must appear in Kali Yuga. Here, Garga Muni refers to a previous Kali Yuga. But in the current Kali Yuga, the Yuga Avatar is also Pita, yellow, the golden avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Jiva Goswami, fully foot of this.
Cognizant of this?
Fully foot. It almost sounds like some, you know, like 1800s. And he was fully foot of this.
Maybe a foot.
A foot, yes. He was fully a foot of this. So what word do you want us to use here instead of foot?
I like a foot.
Or lotus foot. He was fully lotus foot of this. What do we use? A foot.
Yeah.
Okay. He was fully a foot of this. And knowing that no attempts at spiritual advancement can succeed unless one follows the Yuga Avatar for the current age, first dedicate Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha to the glorification and service of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan remarks that Lord Krishna became non-Krishna, or golden because of being covered by the effulgence, twisha, of his beloved consort, Srimati Radharani. Right? So he's non-blackish because the effulgence is so great that you don't see the blackish.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah. This hints at the more confidential purpose of Lord Krishna. In his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he assumed the mood and complexion of his own pleasure potency to experience for himself the love that only she knows. Text 2. That's it. There's nothing else on the page.
Oh.
Is that the footnote? No, it can't be the footnote. There's a line there. So okay. Antah Krishnam Bahir Gauram Darshi Tangari Vaibhavam Kalau Sankirtanadhyay Sma Krishna Chaitanyam Ashrita. Blackish within but golden without, he shows all his opulences, beginning with his own bodily features. In this age of Kali, by Sankirtan and other ways of devotion, we have taken shelter of Sri Chaitanya. Commentary. This verse, composed by Srila Jiva Goswami, restates the previous text. In the first line, he glosses Krishna Varnam as internally Krishna himself. Anta Krishnam, and Trisha Krishna was outwardly appearing golden, Bahir Gauram. Like Gaura golden and Gauranga golden body are names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that thing is that the effulgence is what is covering, so but he's still Krishna, right, in that mood. Lord Chaitanya displayed the spiritual opulences by which we can verify that he is God. Darshi Tangadi Vaibhavam. But not in the usual ways. He did not kill great demons, as did Lord Varaha and Lord Nrisimha. He did not neglect ordinary morality and engage in amorous pastimes, as did Sri Krishna. The distinctive opulences of Lord Chaitanya are his all-attractive pure love of Krishna, and his unprecedented kindness to his devotees and to the unfortunate deluded people of the world. Right? Persons with clear intelligence can recognize that Lord Chaitanya's accomplishments were beyond the ability of a mortal being. So you have this means unprecedented kindness to the devotees, right? So he's just means because he gives his mercy to the deluded people of the world. So that's the Sankirtana. But then the cultivation of the devotees. So that unprecedented kindness, right? So that's the activity. Right, the interaction, the avideya, is with that kindness. Right, so now that kindness—that's the primary quality of the kind conjugal rasa, karuna rasa. Right, so that one is the goal, but it's also that mood because of taking on the mood of Srimati Radharani. You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to put it in, then that means it's kindness. But it doesn't mean that we don't cut through illusion. Right. So, in other words, the dealing with the deluded, then that may one may use whatever technique works. But in cultivating the devotees, that's that kind.
Is that Vishvambhava?
That's Vishvambhava. Okay. He was generous to a degree not manifested by any previous appearance of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advised, "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear." Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Thus, before Lord Krishna would give his full mercy, he demanded full surrender. But 4,500 years later, as Lord Chaitanya, he put aside that demand and gave love of God freely to whoever agreed to hear and chant Krishna's names according to his instructions. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most intimate relationship with his feminine counterpart, Srimati Radharani. A careless practitioner in this mode of worship can commit several dangerous offenses, any one of which normally reverses the good effects of chanting. But by Lord Chaitanya's special order, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is now universally available. In fact, because other mantras, if you're not behaving or dealing properly, they will not give the effect. In fact, Lord Chaitanya requested every man, woman, and child in the universe to chant Hare Krishna. And he promised that if we chant under his guidance, he will protect us from our offenses. Therefore, in the present age, the present Kali Yuga, discriminating and unfortunate persons from all communities of the world eagerly take part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan, even residents of higher planets and of the spiritual world. who otherwise during Kali Yuga have no desire to come near the earth, right? So they come and take part in the pastimes. Because otherwise they don't, nobody hangs out. It's not the place to be, it's not happening. Krita Dishu Prajarajan Kalav Ichanti Sambhavam Kalau Kalau Bhavishyanti Narayana Parayana. My dear king, the people of Satyuga and other ages eagerly desire to be born in this age of Kali, since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord, Narayana. Bhagavatam 11.5.38. Because otherwise there's so many meditators, there's so many, the yagya, those doing the yagyas and everything. It's like King Riga. That means the amount of pious credits he had, it was like the grains in the sand. Who can count them? Right? So, and he didn't know that there was such a thing as devotion, because all his Brahmins were all Karmakandas. Right? So that's why I said in this age, then there'll be so many devotees. So we're taking it, this is perfectly normal, there's so many devotees. Oh, this is special. Sri Jiva adds to it in his Sandarva Sambhadini. To further clarify the opening verse, the author praises the same Lord with the sublime ideas found in the verse beginning Anta Krishnam. The same ideas have also been expressed by Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the crest jewel of all learned men. Let the honeybee of my consciousness take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach the ancient system of devotional service offered to himself, a system almost lost by the influence of time. Chaitanya Chandra Doi Natakam 6.43. Also interesting is how he's saying the author here is doing this like that, because otherwise then how is it a commentary? Like that, because then it puts him in a position where he can discuss it with us. Otherwise, just say this. I heard that. Avoid all those problems. Right? Text 3. Jayatam Mathura Bhumau Srila Rupa Sanatanao Yao Vilekayatas Tatvam Gya Pakao Pushpakam Imam. All glories to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana in the land of Mathura. To make the truth properly understood, they are inspiring me to write this book. Because he's pointed out before, by the influence of time, it's been lost. So this concept of pure devotional service can get lost. The Vedic culture is there, the knowledge, it's also going down. But in it, the pure devotion is lost. Because otherwise, all these Vedic aspects and rituals and activities can all be performed for karma and jnana. And as people become more materialistic, that's generally the tendency. How many are actually interested in pure devotion? Right? So therefore, he comes as Lord Chaitanya to see that that happens. Right? And then we're able to understand what Lord Chaitanya has given through Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana. Right? Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan comments that this verse carries out the second two purposes of a Mangalacharan: to offer blessings, Ashir Varatmaka, and to pay homage, Namas Kritatmaka. Genealogically speaking, Jiva Goswami is Rupa and Sanatana's nephew. Spiritually, however, their relationships were different. Rupa Goswami accepted Srila Sanatana Goswami as his guru, the director of his spiritual life. Thus, although externally they were family members, Srila Rupa revered and obeyed his elder brother Sanatana in a much more serious way because of their essential spiritual connection. In turn, Sri Jiva committed himself to Sri Rupa Goswami as a surrendered disciple. So in this verse, the author honors the spiritual master and grand spiritual master, and by doing so, he automatically offers homage to all their predecessors and to the Supreme Lord. So in other words, he's starting that pattern so that it just carries on. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan states that the verb jayati is victorious, here expresses excellence beyond that of all other saintly persons, indicating that all Vaishnavas owe respect to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. The current verse thus offers blessings to all the devotees of the Lord by reminding them to acknowledge the supremacy of these two transcendental brothers. And because Jiva Goswami considers himself one of the ordinary Vaishnavas, he hints that he too is obliged to remain always reverential towards his saintly uncles. Right, because benediction is there, so you're getting benediction by getting the mercy of the previous acharyas. Sri Jiva Goswami is grateful to Rupa and Sanatan for enlightening him and inspiring him in Krishna consciousness. They reveal to him the absolute truth, tattva. In this regard, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan points out that to this word tattva, the Vishvakosha dictionary assigns several meanings. Tatvam vadya prabhete syatsurupe paramatmani. Tattva is a particular musical instrument, the essential identity of something or the supreme soul. So it's a musical instrument, essential identity of something or the supreme soul. So when we deal with it, then we're talking about the essential identity of the things in connection with the Supreme Soul. Right? At the same time, as it's very, the acharya is always presented very poetically. So it takes on that musical element. Like that. The tattva revealed to Jiva by Rupa and Sanatana was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his entire retinue. Thus, for Sri Jiva, his uncles were imparters of knowledge, Gya Pakao, but not in the ordinary sense. They gave their student the kind of knowledge unobtainable from materially motivated teachers, right? So therefore it had to be connected to the Supreme Soul. Belief in God marks the beginning of spiritual progress, but to make substantial advancement, one must be seriously committed to following a living representative of God. Only by becoming the disciple of a Vaishnav can a conditioned soul revive his link with the spiritual reality. Right? Mm-hmm. So there has to be that aspect. That's what he's saying, is the conditioned, there has to be someone who's living that you have that connection. Mm-hmm. Then we have the connection with all the previous acharyas. Right?
Yeah. So is it like a pastime for them? I mean, they're pretty liberated. Rupa Goswami was
pretty
never
liberated.
Rupa Goswami was never conditioned, so
yeah, you don't get really much more liberated.
No, that's
than that.
Yeah.
Really liberated.
I think
awesome. It was just a comment.
No, it was like, so I mean, Rupa Goswami, they take to teach others to be the example, like Krishna has a spiritual.
No, but the point is the preaching, because you're talking about the Lord, so that's always nice.
Yeah.
So, because the Lord wants the living entities to come back to him, then it's a nice service to go and do that. Right? But the problem is the material world is a bit of an inconvenience, but because of that absorption of the Lord, then, you know, it's one of those things we tolerate. So that's why Krishna's saying, you tolerate the material world. Because that's what those who come from the spiritual world do when they come here. It's understood. Like that, you know what I'm saying? If somehow or another everybody was hanging out in the toilet, and that's the only, I mean, everybody who's conditioned hung out in the toilet, then you tolerate the toilet. You know, that's just the way it is, because you go there to preach. You know, you don't expect a toilet to become like a living room.
No.
You understand?
Mm.
You know, so they don't worry about that. The toilet's a toilet. We're the ones thinking it can be a living room. No, it's a toilet.
Yeah. Remember we were talking about a Chinese kitchen?
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather not talk about
it. Moving along.
Yeah, moving along. I don't think they make them like that anymore. The old houses.
They have restrooms.
Huh?
There's all those parking lots in China.
Oh, okay. Oh, we were just talking about some of the old houses you have in the kitchen. You also have in the side, you have the toilet right there.
Yeah.
You seen those old houses?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was in one. I forget what it was. I think Chandrasekhar had, you know, but somehow or another there was some other facility, so he just didn't use that one. Huh? It's like an Indian toilet. It's like you have the floor, and right in the middle of the floor, it slopes like here, and in the middle, instead of a drain, is the toilet. So it's like if the kitchen was as big as this area, that half would be, you know, there'd be a counter there and a counter here and all that. And in this area, it's just a big open area with the toilet right in the middle. So all the older houses, I think before 1950 and stuff like that, they were built like that. But in the newer ones, all the apartment buildings and that, they don't do that so much. It's practical, you know. Just everything comes down. You know, you have to take all the peels and that and throw them out. They just wash them down the toilet. Right? Okay. You know, so it works. You know, so you have to say it's practical, you know. So yes.
So Maharaj, so you say that to make substantial advancement, one must have a following.
A living spiritual master. It means you have to have contact with somebody who is living and make that connection with them. That's the Pancharatric system.
It means like Shiksha.
It's always Shiksha, but the point is then there must be a commitment to such a person on the Diksha level. So that commitment to following his instruction, that's called Diksha. You know what I'm saying? Because it's formalized. You have to follow. The other Shiksha gurus you should follow, but if you don't, no one's going to jump up and down because you have one person you do follow. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Is that, in other words, there should be that commitment. On the liberated platform, there's no laziness, so there's no question you won't follow it. So on the liberated platform, there's no need of Pancharatric Diksha. So simply hearing instructions like Rupa and Sanatana heard from Lord Chaitanya, they're initiated. You know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, he personally instructed all of them. So that's why Prabhupada says they're direct disciples, but they're direct disciples from the Bhagavad system, not from the Pancharatra. Does that make sense? So that's why it's interesting that then they'll make a Goswami line from Rupa or from Gopal Bhatta when it's a Bhagavad, you know, system. So it's the Shiksha that is what's coming down. So for us, the list of the parampara, that's the Shiksha line. Then within that, you have your Diksha gurus. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, he's alive, you're alive, a commitment is made. And then if he's not around, it still works. It's not that it has to be present, but you'll always have Shiksha gurus that are present. Does that make sense? But the Diksha guru may or may not, but he had to be around when the commitment was made. You know, otherwise, then, you know, why Prabhupada? Why not, you know, Rupa? You know, hey, you know, like that. And then some will say, no, but Sanatana was his guru. You know, it's like that. And so then like that. And so that is Lord Chaitanya himself or Lord Brahma. Hey, he's got four heads. Now he's the guru. You know, so you can just do anything. So this whole thing, no, it just doesn't work. That's why it's said, a living person. Otherwise, people will do this. You know, we're doing this and we don't have much knowledge about the culture. Right? Now, what are the apasampradayas? These are people who know something about the culture enough to be dangerous. So you create even more trouble. Right? So that's why these things are established. Otherwise, you know, like even the apasampradayas, you have to have a living guru. Right? The Mayavadis, you have to have a living guru. There is nobody on the planet, Buddhist, everybody. He's got to have somebody living. Ooh. The Christians. Yeah, the Christians. And they don't even worry about, you know, the Catholics worry about some kind of parampara, you know, the other, the East Orthodox, the Oriental, but the Protestants don't worry about anybody at all. Wow.
That's the whole essence.
Okay, that's where it comes. Otherwise, where's it? Yeah. Okay. Yet only by becoming a disciple of a Vaishnava can a conditioned soul revive his link with the spiritual reality. So he's pointing that out, is that the necessity of surrendering to the devotees. It's not going to happen anywhere else, because they're the ones who know Krishna. Right? So Krishna gives himself to them, so if you're going to get Krishna, it's through them. Right? Why is Krishna going to give himself to us? Who are we? What have we done that's so special? Right? But those in the line, they've done something special. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. You know, Mother Jashoda, she's definitely doing something special. Right? You know? Like that. Yeah, so like that. That's the whole point. The associates then. That's why the importance of the associates. Right? The Lord comes with his Parshuram, with his associates. Then by associating with them, or associating with those connected to them, in other words, that line, that's where we get the benefit. Right? Yeah. Text, we already, did we read the text for? No. Text 4. Kopi tad pandavo bhakto dakshina dvija vamsaja vivichya vaki valikad grantam likitad vrita vaishnavai. One friend of theirs, a Bhatta scholar from a family of South Indian Brahmins, compiled this book after carefully studying the writings of venerable Vaishnavas. Commentary. Here Jiva Goswami gives credit to Gopal Bhatta Goswami for writing the original version of Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha. Gopal Bhatta Goswami conceived the project. He extensively researched the writings of such Vaishnava authors as Ramanuja, Madhu, and Sridhar Swami, and collected his findings in notes that Sri Jiva Goswami later used as the basis of the Sandarbhas. By referring, though obliquely, to Srila Gopal Bhatta, whose exalted place amongst the six Goswamis of Vrindavan is well known, Sri Jiva reveals the depth of his own appreciation for his senior Vaishnava. For more information on Gopal Bhatta Goswami's life, refer to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 10.105. Yeah, because he also did the same compilation and that for Sanatana Goswami, for the Hari Bhakti Vilas, like that. So in other words, you go through, get what's the essential information, but still it has to be put together. Like that. You know, just like, you know, somebody's doing some scholarly work and he has researchers and they go through books and he tells them what to look for, they get all the information and then he puts it together. So it's still his work. Mm. Right? So Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, it's their work. Gopal Bhatta, but they refer to it because of the work that they've done. Mm. The title Bhatta belongs to a certain class of learned brahmanas who specialized in prescribing warranted atonement for wrong behavior. That Gopal Bhatta had such a prestigious birth was certainly not the extent of his glory. His family did come from the Bhatta subcaste, but much more significantly, they were the Lord's faithful devotees, whose company Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased to have, right? Because he stayed in the house. Right? They still have the room, the deities he worshipped, the you know, where he did the yajna and stuff like that. So it's still, it's kept as a separate part of the house. I mean, it's where they live is one place, and then this room, it's only for doing that. You know, they could have easily, you know, need more room, clear it out, somebody moves in there, makes it their bedroom. But they didn't, like that. There was even discussion by other members of the family about that. And it's just, no, it's just staying like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Jiva, Srila Jiva notes in Sri Sarva Samvadini, in the verse beginning Kopi, the sense of statement is that the author cites as an authority what has been written by venerable Vaishnavas, Sri Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Sridhar Swami, and others. This refutes the idea that he has concocted something from his own head. Right? Does that make sense? So, besides it being that it respects Gopal Bhatta for having done this work, the point is he's done the work of getting points from all the other acharyas. Right? So in other words, the same principle. If you start with respecting Rupa and Sanatan, then that means the rest of the parampara. So if you respect those who compiled things from the other acharyas, means you also respected the other acharyas. Although the acharyas Ramanuja and Madhva represent Vaishnava schools of which the Gaudiya Sampradaya disagrees on some points of spiritual philosophy, and although some consider Sridhar Swamini impersonalist in the line of Shankara, Srila Jiva Goswami has selected a number of statements by each of these authorities for serious consideration in the Sandarbhas and Sarva Sambhadini. Of these three acharyas, he cites Sridhar Swami most often, more than 200 times. In fact, Srila Jiva often presents verbatim Sridhar Swami's comments on verses of the Bhagavatam as the basis of his own explanations. This is in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion that Sridhar Swami's authority is undeniable. Okay, text 5. Tasyadyam grantan alekam kranta vyut kranta kanditam paryalo chata paryayam kritva likati jivaka. The first rendition of this work was a rough draft, with some parts in topical order, others not, and some in only suggestive fragments. And so an insignificant jiva has carefully gone over the manuscript and rewritten it in a more systematic form. Right? So in other words, what Gopal Bhatta put together then, you know, was like this, a rough draft, parts in topical order, others not, some in suggestive fragments. Then he came and put it together. Commentary. Since no copies of Srila Gopal Bhatta's original notes are known to exist, we cannot say what parts of the Sandarbhas came from him, but judging from how voluminous and coherent the existing Sandarbhas are, the material in his organization must be largely the work of Srila Jiva Goswami. Here he humbly tries to credit Srila Gopal Bhatta for doing the important part of the work, just as Srila Sanatana Goswami credited Srila Gopal Bhatta for Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas. In any case, novelty was hardly considered a virtue in the Brahminical tradition of philosophy in India. Much more valued was loyalty to one's school of thought. Right? I mean, the novelty may be in the poetic expression or the example or these kind of things. But the point is it had to be in line with the thought. Otherwise, what's the use of the novelty? That's for Munis. Mm-hmm. Right? Munis, then they come up with a different theory. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. A philosopher's task in traditional India was not to invent new schemes of ideas. Rather, each author started with what was the original founder of his school taught and what generations of commentators had added in elaboration. He then tried to elucidate once more the same ideas without contradicting them as he adapted them to the language, level of culture, and special concerns of the current generation. He would also deal with controversies raised by current opponents. Text 6. Ya Shri Krishna Parambhoja Bhajanai Ka Bilasavan Tenaiva Drishtyatam Etad Anyasmai Sapator Pita. Only one whose main desire is to worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna should read this book. Everyone else I warn off with my curse. So it's just like Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is those who are seriously interested in developing that love for Krishna, right? Establishing that relation, they should be studying Bhagavatam, right? And so here, because it's a study on Bhagavatam, it's the same principle. Just here he's making it a little more obvious. Commentary. Sri Jiva may seem unkind in cursing some of his readers, but they're not supposed to be his readers, so therefore it's like Ekalavya. He's not actually a disciple of Drona. But he is in fact sincerely concerned for the spiritual development. His warning is motivated not by a security or malice, but by a sense of genuine compassion for those unfortunate readers at risk of creating miserable karmic reactions for themselves. Like, don't stick your finger in the socket. The Sandarbhas extol on the basis of Nyaya, Shruti, and Smriti the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Envious persons with no desire for bhakti may become antagonistic to these conclusions and commit grave offenses. Like, you know, don't preach to the faithless. Yeah. A pure Vaishnava advances everyone's welfare for whatever he does, even by condemning offenders. The Dharma Shastras state that a government's punishment of a criminal relieves him of much of the sinful reactions he otherwise would have suffered in future lives. Similarly, the curse of a compassionate Vaishnava benefits the offender in unforeseen ways. Footnote 7. Like, you know, so in other words, like but in here, that's the one difference, is the Manu then states if the state punishes the criminal, means the actual parabdha karma will be removed. Right? Means if he's stolen in this life, he gets the punishment for it. Next life, there'll be no reactions for punishment. But What it doesn't purify is the mentality. Mm. So that's why it's not fully. Mm. It's because it's mundane. Mm. But here, the Vaishnavas and the spiritual, that they can reform completely as long as one actually desires to know. Footnote 7. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Narad Muni cursed two demigods, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, for standing naked in front of him. Narada declared that they would have to take birth on earth in Braja as trees in the yard of Nanda Maharaj. As a result, however, after some years, those demigods achieved perfection when baby Krishna uprooted them and granted them pure devotional service. So in other words, the curse can have benefit. That's the whole point. Yes.
Whereas those people who were asked Jagai Mata after they reformed, and they were just neophytes with little faith in the process of devotional service. You know, because people were harassing them for the things that they'd done.
Yes, but the point is they're pure. You take up the chanting of the holy name, that's removed. So this idea is that, no, you must do a penance. Mm-hmm. Technically, it has nothing to do with Vaishnava philosophy. I mean, none of the Vaishnavas. There isn't anybody who would worry about that. You know, otherwise, is there any discussion about Ajamil? You know, I mean, he, you know, wasn't doing so great, right? He didn't take care of his aging parents. He left his wife. He was off with a prostitute. He had, you know, his last son when he was 88 years old. You know what I'm saying? So the point is now why is she going to stay around? Right? Because he's creating facility a lot better than she'd get otherwise. So therefore, and how is he going to get all that? Not necessarily by great means. You know what I'm saying? So is anybody bringing that up? The question say about that? No, but he was a nonsense. What about me? That's the materialistic thought. That's the materialistic side we're talking about. So materialism, okay, that's there. That's understood. One's conditioned materialism. But do you want to know about the Lord? Do you want to solve the problem? Or you want to solve the problems of justice in the world? Which you can't solve. If you really want to deal, you have to deal according to mana, because everything else is made up. How do you know it works? You know, how do you really know it works? You know, so that's fun. Is that when it's a situation that goes against the modern, then, oh, this is archaic. But if it's something that they can kind of relate to, then the strictest interpretation of the Veda. But they don't even consider the individual is dealt with, which is what mana says the king has to do. And especially in the community of Vaishnavas, then they're already accepted as in the Brahminical context. So then all those really extreme things don't apply. You know? And even if you are, why don't you use the extreme, you know, any things that they recommend, like walking up and down the Ganga and begging, you know, and maintaining your life like that. No, they don't do stuff like that. It's some, you know, foolish Western concept. So it has no basis. It's totally speculative. So that's the whole thing, is that the Shastras, then they deal on the mundane plane, but they don't remove actually the mentality. So therefore you do it again. So in other words, he has no karma to respond from being a thief, but because he has the mentality, he'll still be a thief, so he'll do it again. Right? So at some point he's going to get the reaction. I mean, of course, you call it a reaction if the king punishes him. It's definitely, but it's just not... It doesn't come in the form of how you're born or how the social dealings deals with you or things like that. But, yeah. So the Vaishnavas, it's a totally different kind of category. It means the Manu is the basis of how the culture works, but why is it Manu only means that section? But as we see, that out of what the king deals with is two chapters. But those two chapters take the precedent over everything. Like that. So it's just the way it works. You just choose those parts and then, you know, make that the whole thing. And of those parts, they only pick the ones where, you know, fingers are being cut off. They don't choose any other part. You know, what about how to establish a boundary? You know, use trees or use the water or use some bricks or stones or, you know, nobody gets into that. It's always, you know, fingers cut off, branded, you know, stuff. It's just like, you know, give us
something,
a break.
Something you can get hold of.
Yeah, yeah, which if you put it together, there's maybe, 15, 20 verses that deal like that out of 2,000.
Gets the Bible moving.
Huh?
Gets the Bible.
Yeah, gets the Bible moving, you know, like that. Something to talk about, you know. Otherwise, what's the point of internet if you can't talk about something? Furthermore, Sri Jiva Goswami's first purpose in his Bhagavata Sandarbha is to explain Srimad Bhagavatam for those who take the Bhagavatam seriously as the prime guide in the spiritual life. It's just on the side, isn't it? Then why read this? Because it's going to conflict with your opinion or your view. It means you want to take Bhagavatam as the primary. This is the thing to read. But if you don't read this, because then it will basically make such strong arguments you're going to be conflicted. To be correctly understood, the Bhagavatam must be trusted. Srila Jiva will confront opposing opinions as necessary, such as latter in Sri Tattvasandarbha, when he discusses Shankara's Advaitavad. But he is not interested in polemics for their own sake. It's only to establish Krishna and his devotion in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, he bluntly advises the argumentative that this book is not for them. Right? In other words, it's for the devotees that they understand about the Shankaras. In fact, better that they read no further. Critical speculators who reject the opinions of saintly authorities like Dvaipayana Vyasa and Sridhar Swami will, as a matter of course, fail to understand the sublime message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Well-intentioned non-Vaishnava readers may rightfully ask what they are to do now that they have been categorized as offenders and told not to continue reading. Well, definitely don't, because otherwise they sit down at the pub, you know, and over a beer discuss the Sundarmas. Like that. I think it was, they call it? Or Ravindra Sarup.
Yeah.
Heard about some professors down at the university that that's what they were doing, you know. So that's why he said don't read any further.
Yeah. Right?
They may also ask, why publish this translation of the Sundarmas at all? What to speak of make it widely available? And the simple answer to the second question is that our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, asked for it. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told him directly that to publish the great works of standard Vaishnava Acharyas is the most effective way to increase God consciousness in the confused age. Right? That's why the BBT publishes Prabhupada's works and the works of the previous Acharyas. Nowadays, the world is filled with lavishly funded propaganda for the purchase and consumption of material things, in the face of which only the most vigorous counter-advertisement for things of spiritual value will even be noticed. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to make publishing and distributing Krishna-conscious literature the first priority, even at the risk of sometimes committing the offense of, quote, preaching the glories to the faithless. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna, Hidam te nata paskaya nabhaktaya kadachana Nacha shushu shave vachyam nachamam abhyasuyata ti. This confidential knowledge should not be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. In spite of this, Srila Prabhupada chose to present Bhagavad Gita as it is to a general audience and had his disciples print and sell millions of copies in English and dozens of other languages. Srila Prabhupada commented in this regard that the Vaishnava Acharyas, representatives of the Supreme Lord, sometimes show even more mercy than the Lord himself. Quote, men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Bhagavad Gita 3:29. So they make the approach. Right, that. But if you find that there's not some kind of favorableness or opening, then you be careful about how you deal. And at public programs, the point you can say is, well, you're speaking to so many, you don't know. But the point is, you have the program, they don't have to come. So if they came, then there must be some kind of interest. Like that. But if they get it's just argumentative, then you don't deal. You know, that's not important in the big program. And another and in another purport, Srila Prabhupada comments. But it also happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class. And in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although everyone is not a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. Simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the results of righteous activities. Bhagavad Gita 18:71 purport. So there is the innocent. Generally, that's who comes. You may get an occasional envious person, but the point is they're not devotees, but they're innocent. So by hearing, then they may take up devotional service, but if not, they get the result of righteous activities. So just by hearing the discussions on the spiritual subject matter, they get all kinds of material pious activities, you know, which then qualifies, because it's the pious person is able to surrender. Right, they'll take it up more because they have the good qualities that they'll, you know, have an interest. But it's just by Krishna's grace that it happens to be a devotee that with their interest got connected to. Mm-hmm. Text 7. Artanatva mantra gurun. Gurun bhagavatar tadhan. Sri bhagavata sandharabham. Sandharabham vasmi lekitum. Now I bow down to my initiating spiritual master and to my other spiritual masters who taught me the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And having thus bowed down, I proclaim my intent to write this encyclopedic work, Sri Bhagavata Sandarbha. Commentaries. There is an ancient precedent in the rituals of Vedic sacrifice declaring one's sankalpa, or solemn intent to carry out some sacred work. Brahman who utters the sankalpa at the beginning of a fire sacrifice is obliged to adhere to his word by finishing the sacrifice at all costs. In the complex soma sacrifices, the yajaman, the person paying for the sacrifice on whose behalf the sacrifice is performed, chants the sankalpa mantras and accepts the danda, a wooden rod symbolic of his vow, and a deerskin on which he must sit throughout the ritual performance to remain pure, because he's doing a vow, so therefore he's in that kind of mood. So he's not like in his regular activities. Even though the Soma Yajna is a Karmakanda Yajna, he still basically has to live in everything like a brahmachari. Right? You know, he'll live in his house, but it's a vow, so he's following like that. So he's made that strict vow. And so so people who are in that position are even dealt with differently by Manu than if they're not doing the vow. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, there's no... one of the main things is there's no impurity upon the death, right? For others, then you have that 30-day, 15-day, 10-day, impurity in the family. But if someone is in that position and they die, there's no impurity, right? Because they're considered in a pure state. Mm-hmm. The uncommon word sandharva, which appears in the title of this work and in the current verse as the descriptive form term, has been defined as follows. The wise call a composition a sandharva when it shines light on a different, difficult subject, concentrates on essentials, excels in composition, imparts a variety of complex ideas, and expresses itself lucidly. Right? So, I say encyclopedia, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, the word sandharva means stringing together. In the Sandarbha, Srila Jiva has explained Srimad Bhagavatam not by commenting on each verse one after another as normally done. That's not normally done. That's your standard. That's what he did in Krama. That's why he calls it Krama, because it's one after another, to distinguish it from the Sandarbhas, which are going to be thematic. Right? So I'm saying, but we're used to it that way. Not that that's normal and the Sandarbha is not normal. It's just that that's normally what people do. They take that approach. Right? But the same time as we see that the acharyas have written commentaries on Bhagavatam, but using a thematic. Mm-hmm. Right? So Rupa has, Sanatan has, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, like that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
So we could use the term chronological.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chronological. Yes, it's chronological. Because krama means just step by step. Like krama pot means step by step. You just go one after another.
Parikrama. Parikrama.
Yeah, parikrama. Yeah. Yeah. So it's chronological. Yes. But by systematically presenting various topics, which he painstakingly develops by stringing together the relevant verses from the entire Bhagavatam, along with his own elucidations and those of other commentators. Right? So, as was mentioned before, you have to know the whole Bhagavatam very nicely to even be able to start to pull things together. So we can also understand the original, who is working on the Bhagavatam study, is that he can say this question is answered here and also here in this canto and in that canto and in this verse. He's not even saying the canto, he says the exact verse of it. So, you know, me say, know a bit about Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Okay. You didn't have the database.
Yeah, in those days there were no database. And then when the database came up, then he'd make it much more. Text 8. Yasya brahmeti samgyam kvachit api nigame yata chin matra satapi amsho yasyam shakai swear vibhavati pashyayan eva mayan pumamscha ekam yasyaiva rupam vilasati param vyomi narayanakyam Sa Shri Krishna Viratam Swayam Iha Bhagavan Prema Tat Para Bhajam. In the abstract feature of the pure spiritual essence, the Supreme sometimes indeed goes in the Vedic text by the name Brahman. In the partial expansion as the Lord of creation, that Supreme regulates the Maya potency of material nature and exerts his control through further personal expansions. By the single manifestation of his personality called Narayana, that Supreme rules sovereign in the transcendental sky, beyond this universe. May that same Supreme Sri Krishna, the original Godhead, be pleased to grant pure love to those in the world who worship his feet. So he's taking us through Brahman, Paramatma, then Bhagavan, starting with Narayana, and then up to Krishna, Swayam Krishna. Mm-hmm. Commentary. This verse... ran out of time. Okay, so we'll continue with this tomorrow. Tahu.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare.